hi there, boys and girls, and Brendan.
What? I was going to say hello, but wait, am I not included in the boys or girls? Pretty sure I fall into one of those camps pretty squarely.
Yeah, you do. You're good. We're recording episode number 140 of the Not a Thing podcast. I'm a little out of sorts because I'm in Florida this week for work. Yes, it's happened again. I think this happened last January, and it's happened since then, but I don't remember if I needed to record a show when I was out the last time.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that right now we're recording across both time and space.
Yes.
Because you're on the other side of the country in Florida, and you're also 3 hours in the future.
Yes, it's 11:20. If I can impart any future knowledge to you, it's that it gets dark after 11 o'clock.
Do you have any sports scores you can help me out with? Just biff it up over there.
No, sports is really dead in Florida.
Yeah, well, based on recent records, it's also dead in the Bay Area if you're not the Warriors.
Yeah, right. Oh, criminy. Anyway, yes, I'm in Florida for a work conference. It's been good. I mean, it's been like stupidly ridiculously humid because there was a tropical storm that formed like a day before I got here. And then turn north kind of safely, so it's out of the range of, becoming a thing that I have to worry about. But at the same time, it is just ridiculously humid out here. And I think that may not be the tropical storm's fault. I think it might just be Florida's fault.
Most things are Florida's fault. Thanks for George Bush.
The other thing that is, well, not a thing about this conference is all of the meals so far anyway. And they've been providing meals, which is finance short code for don't go buy your own breakfast and then try to expense it. If the meals are provided, we can't buy our own food. And the meals that are provided are pretty much the worst meals I've ever had. So I've been like pretty much skipping them and eating, very specific parts of them. Like I had a lunch that was a sandwich and I ate pretty much just the meat. Like even the vegetables I didn't want, if you can believe it. It's like, how do you do that? I don't know. It's amazing.
Florida, that's how.
Yeah. One of my coworkers said, Jason, who has not been on the podcast yet, but we're looking into it. He said, what was it? Whatever happens in Florida makes you obese. So it was pretty timely having just gotten the breakfast, which was this breakfast sandwich, which was the saddest like sausage patty ever, in between two like very 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 soggy English muffins. Yeah, it was not. I don't know what makes it a breakfast sandwich. I guess the English muffins. I mean, there was no egg, which really disturbs me because I love eggs in the morning.
You can have a breakfast sandwich without eggs. There's proof in the McDonald's McGriddle.
Well, but at least the McGriddle has like the claim to fame of having the what is it, like the pancakes or waffles
pancakes for buns with syrup infused into them.
Yeah,
for the bun.
That's great. This was like an English muffin that wasn't soggy because it was full of syrup or butter. It was just like fried in oil and they didn't let it crisp up at all, so it was
full of Florida.
Yeah. Another wonderful thing around here that's actually wonderful, I'm not being sarcastic, is the two restaurants that I have been to, because on Sunday and Monday because they were like not conference days, they were setup days. The meals weren't provided, so we were able to go out and actually have dinner at a place we wanted to go. And both times I was able to find on their rum menu, that's right, two different restaurants both had rum menus. I was able to find Flor de Caña, which I highly recommend as a rum. It's very good. It's 100% a thing, especially if A, you can get the 18-year Gran Centenario rum, which is obviously aged 18 years. It's fabulous. It's and B, if you can expense it. So that was great.
You can expense it.
Right. If you can get free 18-year-old rum, totally a thing.
Yeah. No, yeah. What, why would you? Yeah.
Yeah, indisputable. Okay. So let's jump in on this show. Because it is 3 hours into the future where I am, I should have been asleep about 45 minutes ago. Because
It's
I
not
do
even
it.
midnight, Alan.
Yeah,
Come
well,
on.
I have to wake up and be like bright and shiny at 7 a.m., which is still like 4 a.m. Pacific time. It's only been 2 days for me, so I'm gonna have just enough time out here to adjust to the time zone and then fly back. So,
You get that nice sleep-deprived glaze going on.
yep,
That's the best. You
I
can hold the
definitely
smile
do.
a lot better.
Well,
You'll fit in Disney World.
a reason that I will be smiling that is not ironic is actually some stuff that we've talked about on the show in the past, the NSA and their warrantless wiretapping and otherwise finding reasons to surveil Americans and stuff like that. They were taken to task by a lawsuit, and it went all the way up to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, which ruled that the NSA, under the Patriot Act, which is what they were using to justify the surveillance of Americans, really without any other cause, just because they wanted to, that was struck down as illegal. So the NSA, at least. On legal grounds, which they, may or may not respect,
Yeah,
don't
who's gonna
have,
go after him?
right? They don't have legal grounds to warrantlessly spy on Americans, which I think on paper is a good thing, but as we've alluded to, doesn't necessarily mean anything. Doesn't necessarily mean they've stopped. It will more than likely, well, I don't know. I don't know if it would necessarily go to the Supreme Court. It would only go to the Supreme Court if the NSA wanted to publicly be skewered for saying, no, we want to warrantlessly wiretap you, instead of just going ahead and doing it, which is pretty much what they've been doing.
Yeah, that's what they're gonna do. You can't put the genie back in the bottle.
In the meantime, use encryption when you can. Don't say anything over unsecured channels. And if you do, like we are right now, just wave to the NSA.
Wait, this is not a secured podcast? Shit. I've said so many horrible things, Alan. I'm gonna get black bagged.
Black bagging, not a thing.
If you
Absolutely not a
come
thing.
back, if you come back from Florida and I'm missing, you know the NSA took me.
Got it. Got it.
I don't owe, I don't have any outstanding debts to bookies. I have not gotten involved with the mob. I have not purchased large amounts of drugs from cartels. So if they try and plaster any of that on me, you know it was the NSA.
Got it. Got it. Have you uninstalled any apps that your company might want to use to track you via GPS?
My company doesn't give a shit. They're not gonna track me.
So, a story out of oh, I'm sorry, I didn't pick up where this was.
Central California.
Central, oh God, oh California. Come on, that's my state. You can't do that.
Bakersfield.
Yeah. The A worker was fired for removing an app on her phone that did GPS. So the company installed an app or some amount of something that allowed the company to do GPS records of where she was, and then fired her. And then I believe she is since countersued, saying that it was it's unreasonable surveillance and an invasion of privacy, which it absolutely is, assuming you didn't know that when you were signing up for it. I mean, I think the thing to notice is that it's her phone, and unless she waived rights to her phone and what was installed on it, I think it's somewhat reason. I mean, you're working for a company. If you're working for a private company, they have some like hold on you. I mean, they're paying you. And if it's
Well,
not.
in the claim, she even said that she was fine being monitored during work hours
Huh.
and that there was a clock in and clock out function in the app, but
Okay.
it never actually stopped tracking her. So
Oh,
even off duty,
well.
out of work, she's being tracked, and her boss was telling her about it.
Oh, well,
Like
that's
he was watching when she wasn't at work.
oh, 100% not a thing.
That's
Why
ridiculous.
was he telling her this? That's just ridiculous.
Because he's a tool.
Yeah, pretty much. There is one interesting facet of this story, which I'm not sure what to make of, but the story says that she was making $5,500 per month. Is that right?
No, that's 7,250
Oh, okay.
per month.
Wow. That's pretty good job, but I mean, that's not like, go be wealthy money or anything. I mean, that's like, you could maybe get like an almost decent sized apartment in San Francisco money, but yeah, it's a fair amount of money.
If my company wanted to start tracking me and wanted to pay me that much money, I would gladly do it.
Yeah, so that's the thing too. It's like if your price of admission is too high, then yes, that's absolutely an unreasonable thing. Although in this case, it does sound like the company was overstepping its boundaries. I mean, if your app does not actually do what it says it does in terms of like I will track you or I won't track you, then yeah, it should that's definitely not a thing. I mean, it is unfortunately the wave of the future in terms of how companies can use your data. I mean, we've been talking for a long time about how big data is a thing. It's a real kind of thing, and the invasion of privacy is a real thing too. I think it's not necessarily the government that's always going after that data. Sometimes it's just your employer who wants to see what you're doing or see like what you're doing even when you're not at work, apparently, as this guy was supposedly doing. So
Yeah, being creepy, not a thing.
yeah, 100%. Allowing GPS on your own phone with the expression of making like a lot of money for it, possibly a thing. Possibly.
If you need someone to generate a bunch of metadata, I would gladly do that for 7 grand a month.
I would do that for like a lot less than
That's true.
that. If it's anything like the story we picked up last time about the click farms and how you can there were there are places where people just have like SIM cards for the express purpose of generating fake accounts and likes and things like that. You could easily turn that into a kind of geolocation scrambling service. I feel like that should even exist. There should be some way to like, buy a phone and then it you don't have to you don't want to disconnect your GPS because I think that's too obviously defiant, but something that kind of scrambles your movements, or at least masks it a little better, would be probably useful, especially to, guys cheating on like their girlfriends or whatever. Which is not a thing, by the
Why did we laugh at that? That's not a
No,
thing.
not a thing. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know. I'm gonna blame it on the
Florida, man.
yes. Not the conference, and especially not the expensed tequila that I just had. Which was not good, by the way.
Don't think expense tequila is worth going to Florida for.
No, you don't have to go to Florida in order to have really bad tequila that you don't pay for. I'm sure that could be acquired in many other ways, in back in your neck of the woods, wherever that might be.
Yeah, drink locally.
I did have a Cigar City beer. Was that yesterday? Yesterday? 2 days ago. It was an IPA. It's quite good. Cigar City, I believe it is a Florida brewery. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it. Again, drinking local beer is good. Drinking beer is good, but local beer is really good. So do it when you can.
I do, weekly.
Well, I think we're very spoiled in our choices of local beers, so that works out really well. The conference beers are usually not local beers, so the last event I was at did have beer, which is kind of interesting, but they did have beer, but the choices were Heineken, Bud Light, Full Hit Budweiser, Miller Lite, Amstel Light, and what was the other one? Corona.
Gross.
Yeah, not a thing. I ended up having very cheap white wine and a Heineken. Not a great choice, either
Not
way.
a proud day for Alan.
No. Which is why I made up for it with a Johnnie Walker Black and a shot of tequila. So that sort of works, right? Kind of.
Not for a local theme.
No, definitely not for a local theme. From an alcohol consumption theme before 11 o'clock, maybe. It's been an okay day. It's been up and down, shall we say. Talking about stuff that will at least go up, we're hoping it will go up into space, is a Kickstarter project that is being brought by Bill Nye the Science Guy and Neil deGrasse Tyson. So before you shut off the podcast and go contribute to this thing, I want to remind a couple people that Bill Nye the Science Guy, besides being really really funny and a good advocate of science, is also directly related to astronomy in some way. What is his deal? It's
He's the CEO of the Planetary
that's what
Society.
it is. Yes. So yes. There's science, and yes, there's planetary science, specifically getting stuff into space kind of science, which is awesome. And Neil deGrasse Tyson, of course, of Cosmos fame and many a snarky tweet about space movies. It could only be good things. And so what's coming out of this is a Kickstarter to put into space a solar sail. And this is kind of an interesting theoretical craft that's been thought about and put together in a couple different ways. But a solar sail works on the principle that photons of light have, light is one of those things where it acts as both a particle or a wave, depending on how you look at it. And in the particle sense, what it does is it impacts energy as it's flying through space. And we receive a lot of that energy as heat, right, from the sun. Sun warms the earth. I certainly feel that here in Florida all the frickin' time. So, one of, the other way that it can impact is it generates not only heat, but actually pressure. So, over time, enough photons hitting a thing will impart inertia and momentum to a thing. And so, the thought is to build a solar sail so it will catch nothing but the rays and photons coming out of the sun. And in theory, it has because of the vacuum of space, it has limitless acceleration. Like you could keep it out there and it would still be hit by photons and still be accelerating over time. And so it's not exactly free, but it's a much more easy way to build something that we could kind of set up and then let the sun essentially push it out into space. It sounds like a really cool project, and the current goal is, I want to say it's $200,000, and it's like a third of the way there. I think it's kind of a cool project. I'd like to know a little bit more about what it's actually doing, like where the money's going and stuff like that. If 200,000 is what they need, then they should absolutely get that. I hope that they're not, lowballing their goal with the intention of getting stretch goals, which I've seen on a lot of other Kickstarters. But I think Kickstarter's been around long enough that hopefully their goal is what they actually need, and maybe, the any money on top of that is going to be things that make it better and not just some silly thing like I don't know what would be a silly thing like putting your name on the on the sail or something like
Oh,
that.
yeah. And actually, the stretch goals they show on their site already, and they're all things that seem like they'd be good for the project and actually directly work with the project.
Oh, cool. Yeah, when I look
But
when
I think it's good in a time where the government is trying to cut as much spending as possible for NASA,
Yeah.
the Planetary Society is a non-governmental space organization. So that's something that we can be directly involved in. I think that's definitely a thing.
Yeah, it certainly is something that's cool. And I think that's really, I mean, being cool isn't, necessarily the measure of setting something up, but it is like kind of a factor when you're looking at like what projects are interesting and what projects can further stuff. And this is an experiment, and experimentation, the scientific method, is a thing. And hopefully, they can put enough of this together that they can get the stuff put together and up in space. It looks like I'm looking at the thing now and the different levels and stuff, and this is pretty freaking cool. I'm excited. There, one of these is a it's a stargazing kit. I guess it's probably like a like whatever telescope it would be to see it, or and then the information about where it is so you can see it in the sky. That's pretty cool. I was looking at a website a while ago, and I may have to look it up again to find it. It was talking about how to spot space stuff. So there's like lots of big debris in space and large objects, and I don't think it's specifically NASA, but it might be a division of it that keeps track of all of that stuff. It's like things that we've shot up into space, satellites, parts of satellites, parts of things that have gone up and not come down, and keeping track of all of that is something that's done, and they keep track of it in such a way that you could tell if you wanted to see it, because some things are big enough to reflect enough of the sun's light at night that you could see it moving through the sky, so you could find a satellite. And that's pretty neat. But one of the things they do, which is I think even neater because of the math involved, is they know where the satellites are. The satellites that have solar panels, they're usually like a built to look like a wing, even though there's no air in space, so they're not being used for flying or stabilization or anything. It's just spread out so it catches the sun's rays, and they know the angle of the satellite with respect to the Earth. So if you plug in your latitude and longitude, it can tell you where to look exactly and what time to see the reflection of the sun on the solar panel, so you can see it during the day. It's crazy. It's
That sounds like a lot more effort than I'm willing to put in, but it sounds great.
there's so much math involved. I don't even know what that must look like. But I kind of want to do it just to see it. Like, can you imagine? You like look and you're like, okay, it's such and such time. Look, this angle, and you'll see a flash of light, which is the amount of time it takes for that satellite to fly at just the right angle to reflect the sun off of it, so you can see it. That's fantastic. This is science, ladies and gentlemen. It's great.
But yeah, check out the Kickstarter.
Yeah. May have to look. I might, maybe not as the podcast, but I might donate to the Kickstarter. The podcast is still operating at a loss, 140 shows strong at least. And we just renewed. You just renewed our domain, so notathingpodcast.com is still a thing. Still out in the world. Feel free to share it on the various social networks, and make sure you like and share and retweet and favor it, and all of the words that can be used to describe.
Lots of social media buzz
Yes,
phrases.
connecting to us to talk about our fine show, which I know a lot of you enjoy and listen to every week. So thank
And
you
if you're
again.
listening every week and you don't enjoy it, what are you doing with your life? Like, as much as I'd like you to listen and enjoy, like, go do something else.
is there is hate listening a thing? I know hate watching of shows was described to be a thing when you watch a show kind of out of obligation. Are there people that listen to our show out of obligation? I mean, besides me.
You listen to our show?
I listen to our show almost every week, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, partially as a quality control measure, but
Well, I'm
also.
glad somebody's been doing some level of quality control. It's just fire and forget. The podcast is a heat-seeking missile of sound.
Oh my gosh. Oh, speaking of fire and forget, it was, I forget. No, it was my brother-in-law. He was talking to me. I'd seen him a couple weeks ago, and I was chatting with him, and he was talking about a show that was like 3 months old. Because he had just listened to it, and he was talking to me like I'd talked with him about it that day. I'm like, no. I don't even remember what topic that was. It was a fun moment. I do love each and every one of our shows. I know we talked about that earlier, how they're all great, but they're certainly ones that are that I keep less in the forefront of my mind, shall I say? Give me a little bit of leeway when I'm trying to remember which show it was and what topic it was. But I'm sure I'll at least be able to look it up if I don't remember.
I think if someone approached me with the topic we discussed, I think I could have something to say about it. But if you come at me with an episode number, I'm gonna laugh in your face. I don't even know what episode it is when we record.
Episode 140 for those still listening to the show. I hope you're still listening. If you
See,
are
that's
listening,
why we make a great team, Alan.
Yeah, if you are listening, one great thing we're moving into spoiler land. It's something we haven't done in a little while, but it's fun now and again. We're going to talk a little bit about Avengers: Age of Ultron.
We both made it to a theater.
Yes, somehow the stars aligned, and I was able to see it. Like the day before I flew to Florida, which was good. It was a good show. I didn't see it in 3D. I actually didn't even see it in, you know, quote unquote, large format theaters or whatever they're saying these days to designate the XD theaters and baby IMAX and all that kind of stuff. It was non-3D, non really big, and it still looked really, really good. I mean, it sounded good. It looked really good. I liked it from a, wow, this is one like hell of a movie kind of point of view. But I actually kind of found it lacking. I don't know. Well, what did you think of it?
You nailed it. I think it had. I liked it. It had stuff that moments that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Felt like the pacing was off.
Yes.
It felt like this could have been a better movie if it was another. I mean, it was already long, but it really needed to be another, I don't know, half hour.
Yeah.
If you could see the cuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe someday there will be a director's cut that'll be amazing. But I don't know. I liked it. I don't think it matched or surpassed the first Avengers.
Yeah.
Which I then went and watched immediately after watching it. Still good. Still holds up.
Yeah, well, interestingly, I mean, I feel like it did. I mean, they tried to match it, right? There was more of pretty much everything. There was more of, I think, really all the characters. There was more, to the bad guys that were there. There was a little more substance. There was more explosions, more fighting, more scenes. And there was more character development even, right? I mean, there was a lot more talking about Hawkeye and the Hulk and Black Widow. I mean, really everybody. Well, not Captain America and not Iron Man. Those were kind of, yes, they're the same.
There was not a lot of Thor. This movie was lacking Thor.
Oh, good point. Good point. He had that whole, like, I'm gonna, go incognito bit. I thought that was funny. But,
where he was wearing the same clothes like in Black Hat, which I only saw the trailers for. I was like, nah, it's Black Hat.
But I think, I don't know, it was purportedly more, and it was supposed to be more, and I think numerically, if you added it up, it would be more of all of those things. But it didn't feel like it when watching it. Like, it felt like there were, like, large swaths of like, what are we doing right now? Why are we
on this farm?
That was the dark moment of the soul moment for dark moment. Yeah, dark moment of the soul. That's the dark night of the soul. That's what it's called. If you're using the save the cat kind of metaphor for the movie, which we kind of pulled from the show like kind of a while ago. And I had the same kind of issue with Guardians of the Galaxy, that the pacing of the, not the pacing of like the individual scenes, but the overall like arc of the, like, hey, we're doing fine. There's this bad guy that is there. Oh my God, this bad guy, pretty much beat us and I don't know how we can handle it. Oh, we're going to get a pep talk and now we're fine.
I liked Guardians of the Galaxy a lot more than this movie.
No, and I think Guardians of the Galaxy had a lot more fun to it in that it was better woven through the movie. Whereas it felt like for this movie, the jokes were just like really not obvious, but but starkly in contrast to everything around it.
I do have to give them credit for pulling off one of the better backdoor jokes I've seen in a movie.
Yeah.
You're not gonna like.
There was some good
stuff. None of the kids are gonna get that one. But we got it.
there were actually a lot of kids in the showing I saw. And I know this even though I sat very far to the front because they were so loud. Screaming kids, it's a thing, I guess, at movie theaters.
I understand why they did it, but I'm really bummed that we don't get any more Quicksilver, because Aaron Taylor Johnson did a great job playing skeezy Eastern European guy.
Oh my god!
It was way better than the X-Men version.
Yeah. Oh, when he's like, suiting up. Like, I don't understand A, why they have clothes for him, but B, right? I loved, like, all of the Adidas shoes. If only it was like, where are all my Adidas tracksuits? That would have been the best. But yeah.
No, but I liked the Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch editions. I thought they did a good job. Hawkeye had some good moments, but they gave him too much of the movie. I feel like they were making up for the last one where he didn't get to do much.
Maybe. Yeah, that's possible. I thought, I don't know. I just felt like there was no tension in the movie. Like,
You know, because they've already announced that there's going to be all these other movies that everyone's going to make it.
Yeah.
You can't kill Thor. You can't kill Captain America yet.
Well, you know, I feel like that's fine, and that's kind of there, but there's still no tension about, like, you know, how is this going to work? It's not even like, how is this going to work? It's just, okay, let me see it. Like, when the island is flying through the air, it's not so much like, are they going to save it? It's like, I just want to see what they do. So,
yeah. I mean, I think it would have been an interesting choice to have them not save it.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. That would never happen in a billion-dollar movie.
And then the other big complaint I have, which is the one I had for Superman, which is just the amount of, like, complete collateral damage there was from this movie. Is fantastic.
No, but that's not the case, because Iron Man saved those people in a bathtub, so everyone was fine.
that one family in that building.
Yeah,
it's fine, right?
So we learned that Sokovia is full of people really good at evacuating. Those buildings were cleared out,
except for that one kid who was behind the thing, whose mom left. Like, what the
sad mom.
So messed up. Not a thing.
Well, I don't know. I thought Vision was interesting. I thought he did a good job with that.
Yeah, that was a good introduction. I don't follow the comics enough to know how Vision came about as part of the thing. But I think, you know, the way they built it for this, it's fine. It's good. I mean, you might as well wrap it up. I think it's kind of elegant, actually. So if it's not from the comics, that's fine. This was a good way to pull it together.
I almost feel like Ultron wasn't the main villain of the film. It was Tony Stark. Was the main villain.
Sure.
He is such a dick in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and I think that's you know, that could be setting up more stuff too. So that's fine also. I mean, I like that there was some kind of not black or whiteness of it, and I liked his speech to Bruce Banner when he's saying, like, you know, everyone thinks we're mad scientists, so let's just own it, you know. So that was kind of nice.
No, it was good. I mean, I saw it in 2D and in 3D. I don't feel like the 3D did anything.
Yeah,
could have skipped that.
I'm glad I didn't see it in 3D.
I think the best thing to come out of this is it made me rewatch Winter Soldier. And every time I watch, I've seen it a few times now. Every time I watch it, I like it more. Like, I didn't like it as much when I first saw it, but it's actually really good.
Yeah,
I was wrong.
the original, or the, the not the original Captain America, not the 1970s one with the like weird hang glider motorcycle sequence. The one with the new what was that? Was that
The
like Captain
first
America, the first
Avenger.
Avenger? Yeah. That was on in the background of a birthday party I was at recently, and I was very, very much interested to watch that versus being at that birthday party.
Sounds like not a great birthday party.
No, but I mean, it was also a movie that I haven't seen in a while, and I definitely want to see that and Winter Soldier again. I do want to see Avengers again. I sort of want to see Iron Man 3 again, but I also have not seen Iron Man 2 more than once. So,
Don't. Don't do it. Those are hours you will not get back.
yeah. Well, in any case, I will probably go back and watch a few of them again. Maybe not the second Thor movie again either, for that matter.
But Tom Hiddleston's in it,
Yeah.
so you should probably watch it.
Probably. Oh God. See, this is the thing. I know that there was a theater near me and probably others that did like a premiere night thing where you could watch Avengers, then watch Avengers 2. I am just like really worried for the day when they back to back to back to back to back to back. I'm not sure. I haven't counted them, but I'm guessing it's probably already surpassed the Harry Potter number of movies, and I know I did that once, and that's a long time.
Well, there was a theater that did a marathon of all the Marvel movies to date
Oh God.
before it came out. It was like 27 hours or something ridiculous,
Holy jeez.
all in a row in a theater.
Oh, I would not want to be in that theater.
Oh, that theater's got to smell like Comic-Con.
Oh, yikes. Anyway, not a thing. Oh, also not a thing. Speaking of Comic Cons or cons in general, this is the first year I didn't get into the Penny Arcade Expo, so I might try and secondary market that, but at the same time, I may not just want to deal with it. I may just take that weekend off and enjoy it as Labor Day, as most people do. I might have some people over to play some games, but yeah, kind of a bummer. I think we'll still go up to Seattle, just not on that weekend because my sister-in-law
Don't
lives
torture
there.
yourself like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, my sister-in-law lives there, so of course we'd like to see her. That's what we ended up doing traditionally. So that's fun, and we'll still do that part, but not going to PAX. So, oh well. We'll find out some way to get game and board game news and stuff like that to you. I'm sure we'll find a way.
Internet is the
Yes,
way.
yes. Cool. Well, my internet. Before my internet runs out, I am going to sign off from Florida. Next week, I'll be back in hopefully sunny, but possibly rainy California. That wouldn't be a bad thing. And we'll record our show as in better circumstances and better spirits, shall we say. So we'll do that. Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan. Make sure you get out of Florida alive.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best to not be a Florida man tweet.